episode 355 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moyne. I'm joined by the other two M's, plus a special guest. So M's and special guest, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Special guest? Special guest is remaining silent.
Is he there? Where'd he go?
Did we lose special guest? He's muted.
Sure.
Here, there he is.
Wait, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Jalal, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Jalal, and please leave me alone on the internet.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. So, happy belated Thanksgiving to you all. Hopefully you had a nice long weekend. Hopefully you didn't all have to work.
Oh, I worked every fucking day because my boss is a cunt.
I'm sorry. I'm going back tomorrow. I took today off.
Oh, that's nice. So what did you take it off just to prolong your vacation?
I actually had a burlesque show last night, so I did not want to go in. So I was just like, I'm not going in. And then I found out today that we're debating about whether to have our holiday party. And at first it was going to be in our office. Then it was like, oh, do whatever you want. So then I had found restaurants and they hadn't gotten back to me. And now they just want to have it in the office again. And I don't even know how that's going to work because it's kind of late to be planning this. So I'm not looking forward to going back tomorrow.
Ugh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I was going to ask you if you still did your burlesque stuff.
Yes, I have actually another show this week. So I have two shows, two weekends in a row. So that's the other thing that's been stressful. But we're starting back up again. So that's exciting and fun.
Excellent.
You have to measure 6 feet from the tassels or?
You're so funny. No.
All right. So this weekend we all fled our family get-togethers or whatever we did and caught up on Ridley Scott's, Lady Gaga's House of Gucci, which again stars Lady Gaga and Jared Leto and Adam Driver and Adam Al Pacino and Salma Hayek and Jeremy Irons, among many others, in a crime saga family drama / camp fest that explores the life and the
downfall. Can you use that word?
I don't know. Question mark behind that word. We'll certainly talk about that. Behind the Gucci family as it fell out of ownership of the Gucci company. So really that's what we're what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the reactions to the film, whether or not we liked it, and kind of spitball its Oscar chances now that preview audiences have been divided on it. Critics have been kindish to it. Audiences have come out in pretty decent numbers to see it over the Thanksgiving holiday. So we'll see how all that plays and where we think the film lands in award season. And then, of course, we'll wrap things with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Megan, why don't you tell us, orient us in the world of Gucci?
Yes. So, it starts off, I would say, in the late 70s, early 80s, and we meet Patricia. Is that how you say her name?
Patricia,
played by Lady Gaga, who is working for her dad's ground transportation company. And she likes to go to dance clubs and kind of sneak into parties. And that's where she meets Mauricio. Is that how you say?
Yeah.
Adam Driver. The whole time I'm just like, it's Adam Driver. And so they hit it off and she learns he's a Gucci and it's like, whoa. So she kind of gets her claws on him, in a way that I think at first is like, ooh, I'm intrigued. And then, it's like, I think she does actually fall for him. And then it's his family that doesn't like her. And, but then he kind of gets pulled back into, like, there's a lot going on. I don't know if I want to spoil. I mean, I guess this is history, but you know, he gets kind of disowned from the family, and then they try to pull him back in, and he ends up kind of moving up the ranks of Gucci. And it's all in Italy, mostly in Italy, in the 1970s, early 80s. Although there's some stuff in New York.
Confusing thing.
Yes, that was very confusing. So confusing. Yes. But yeah, that's my summary of it, I guess. I mean, there's a murder. I hope everybody knows that.
There's a murder that takes a long
time. Barely a murder.
I know.
Right.
That's so funny, too, because I went into this. I didn't read any reviews or anything. I mean, I'd certainly read the tweets about it, which, you know, pretty much counts for reviews these days. But yeah. I did not know that the murder that happens in the film happens at the very end of the film. I kept waiting for this guy to die. You know, certainly there's a flash forward to it a little bit at the very beginning, like the first minute or so of the film. I did not know. I wasn't prepared for it to be as much about family politics and family business as it was. That's one thing.
I agree with that.
Yeah. That sort of threw me. And we, you know, we can get into this later, but to its detriment, I think. But Megan, why don't we start with you? I know you saw this first. You were super excited about it. Did it live up to your expectations?
Yeah, it did. I think it, if anything, it proves that Lady Gaga is the real deal. I think that's what I told Joey the other night. Like, I think that this is kind of a test for her as an actress, because so many people had said, critics too, you know, that with A Star Is Born, she's playing herself, even though she's not playing herself. I think that was an easy thing to say, but she's playing a musician in that. And this one, she's playing somebody completely different. And if you look at those two performances, they're the complete opposite. I thought that she was excellent in it. I mean, I guess the other controversial thing I would say is I think Jared Leto was excellent in it. I think it was, you know, there's a lot of melodrama and it's not a perfect film. There are a lot of weird things that happen in it. Like the fact that, like, they're drinking, what is it called? Bloody Marys and like at night at one point. And then there's like a random dog that's just hanging around in the background of one scene. There's so many weird things.
I know what
things.
Dog you're talking about.
Yeah. There's so many weird things
like
that happen. Yes. Like around the fountain or something. It's just so, there were so many bizarre things. Oh, also that, like, when they're looking at photos at the Gucci estate, like one of the photos of that's like on the mantle is of Jeremy Irons, and it looks like it has an autograph on it. It's signed. Like, that was weird. There were so many things that were weird, but I also at the same time, I kind of loved it. I loved that that was, I think that some of the people who were saying it's like the worst thing they've ever seen are, I mean, I'm kind of shocked because I didn't think it was the worst thing. It's not great, but I think it's one of the more entertaining films of the year. And not to compare it to other things, but I felt like I guess I'll just say this outright. I think she's going to get in for Best Actress, and I think she's going to take Jessica Chastain's spot.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. By the way, her looking at that signature on the picture is meant to infer that she fakes the signature on the stock certificates that weren't signed.
Oh,
because she's really good at faking signatures because she faked her father's signature in the beginning of the film.
So, but I thought that was
that
them
the scene you're talking about, Megan?
I was talking about when they're like when he dies and they're looking around the house. And there's a picture of Jeremy Irons, and like,
yeah,
she burps the picture.
Yeah, that's where she gets the signature that she copies.
Oh, but why did he have the signature on his photo?
He was an actor.
I guess. Why would you, I just thought that I just can't imagine anybody having framed headshots of themselves like that are signed. I don't know.
It's Italian.
I guess yeah. It just stuck out. It stuck out to me. It was something that like.
Someone
that's
didn't
weird.
Go to theater school.
I guess. I'm sorry.
He was
sorry.
Very much like
it's not an excuse to knock on assholes in theater school.
Jalal, what were you saying?
I was just saying he was very much Italian Norma Desmond.
Yeah.
Watching movies of himself.
Yes, 100%. That was there were lots of moments of interest and kind of little things that made me think, and I think Jalal, you tweeted this to me, that this would have been a much better like Italian crime story, for example. I mean, you can't call it an American crime story because it doesn't deal with an American family, doesn't take place in America, but it demanded, I think, to be a limited series where you could flesh out all of these characters. You know, as I look at the film, it's just way too packed. There's way too much going on. There's too many characters that don't get enough attention. I want to see an entire bottle episode about Salma Hayek's Medium.
Yeah.
She would have won that Emmy. She would have swept that category.
100%. But I will agree with you, Megan, that Lady Gaga is really, and she's great in this. And I think for me, the film was very flat. And I think every time she was in it, it came to life. And I think that makes the film actually ironically promotes her, because she is so good and she stands out above everybody else to me. And I think she's actually better in this than she was in Star is Born.
Oh, I think she is too. Yeah. And she's also playing, not that I want to hear from you guys, but I just want to say she's playing like a villain essentially, but you love her you really love her from the beginning. Like, I mean, I did. I found myself like, oh, she's so like human, and you worry about her. And
is she a villain?
Yeah. I know. Okay. Well, I do want to say that I was disappointed with Adam Driver's character.
He was genuinely bad.
Yeah. I was really surprised. His accent. Nobody's talking about his accent. If you're going to be hard on accents, they should be scrutinizing that one.
Did you guys clock him? Did you clock him slipping up?
Yes.
And he knew it on his face. The scene where they meet at the bar. It's like the scene where they meet at the bar at the beginning, and he's like pretending to be a bartender, and he says something to her, and then he gets embarrassed and he paces around, and he's supposed to be like flustered and in love with her. But he clearly screwed up his accent. He realizes it. He pauses and composes himself and then keeps going. That was
I think
acting.
I did notice that. I think I did notice that.
He was bad. Just because he's film Twitter's favorite right now, they don't want to say it.
Yeah, because nobody said anything about him. They're all being really hard on Jared Leto, which I thought Jared Leto should get in for Best Supporting Actor, and makeup should get in. Oh my God. But okay, I'm done talking. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Jalal, what did you think?
I enjoyed it. I think it wasn't great, and I don't think it was bad. I think the people who were like ranting and ranting about how bad it is are idiots. Like, get a life. Like, I found it to be watchable. I found a lot of things frustrating about it. But I also kind of was swept up in the idea that we don't get movies like this anymore. And even if we deserve better versions of it, I was really excited to have a movie star vehicle. And I just felt like these actors kind of came alive on stage. I think I found it really fascinating. I think its issues came from the script. And a lot of my kind of frustrations and confusions with it came after the fact, when I found out things that I thought I understood, I did not understand. Like, I did not know until I was on Wikipedia that they had more than one child.
Oh,
like the daughters that we see are not always the same daughter.
Oh,
Megan, I'm surprised you didn't clock the fact that they're just like, she's a bad mom. She's never there.
They're rich. They're bad parents. I just assume.
That's why I don't really look at her as the villain. Yeah. Was because like, I'm like, who cares if she destroyed this rich family? And then like the timeline just really screwed me up. Like, cause they kind of make it seem like things are happening a certain way. And then you get to the end and they do the credits at the end and they kind of say what happened to everyone at the later years of their life. And you don't really realize when watching the movie that Al Pacino died way before Adam Driver died. Or that Jared Leto dies, I think, the year before Adam Driver dies. It's just kind of like all of that could have been really fleshed out in a really more interesting way. I think they could have explored the fact that she's still getting money from the Gucci estate. And she gets her alimony every year. I find that really fascinating, and I wanted more of that. I really wanted more of they kind of murder him
then they cut 2 years forward, and then they all go to prison. And I really would have liked the movie to focus more on those 2 years. Or focus on the fact that the bitch runs around Spain with a parrot, or Italy with a parrot.
Yeah, I read that too.
There was just like so much that more that I wanted that I think they could have really used Lady Gaga for. Like that scene where she kind of kicks the other woman out of the house. I think that was kind of like Lady Gaga in her prime. And kind of an example of them not knowing what they had. And I agree with Megan 100% that Jared Leto was actually good. I hate to say that, but I think he understood the assignment. I think he becomes grating when the movie gives him scenes by himself. But I think when he is truly a background actor, I think he knows what to do as opposed to Adam Driver.
Yes, Adam Driver.
I'm embarrassed for Adam Driver.
Yeah, I feel really bad for him. He's so good, and like also I feel like he really got the he was put through the ringer this year between this and The Last Duel. Like his characters, like does Ridley Scott have something against him? But yeah, I agree. I was gonna say something else too about but Joey, you haven't said anything yet.
I thought that I agree with everything you say about Lady Gaga. I think when, like, even saying stuff about why didn't they lean into this, or, you know, an example of like the last couple scenes that we have with Jared Leto where he's no longer wearing colorful suits and he's wearing those god awful like 80s track suits. I was like fascinated with those choices. I wanted to sort of know what else was going on with that character. I feel like when Lady Gaga's not on screen, it turns into kind of a old grizzled men in dark clothes just arguing in boardrooms, and I think that's very dull. I also thought like the timeline. I agree with Jalal was saying. I thought actually, and then I feel like it's not clear, like it is clear but it's not clear. I needed something else fleshed out, the sort of the turn in their marriage.
And
I was he hates her now. Okay. I understand like what Gaga's character's motivations are, but I feel like we didn't get enough of a reaction from Adam Driver, and Adam Driver is my least favorite part of the movie. I agree with that. And it was also just, and I felt bad because the whole time I was watching, I was like, this is the best you've looked all year. Yet this is the worst performance you're giving. I don't know. I think the people that say it's like the worst thing in the world are also, I think that's overboard. And I also think the people say that it is like, that it's so camp are wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not campy at all. It's not campy enough.
Because, like, the stuff where, like, I wish the tone of the movie, like, I'm actually going to even come right out and say it a little bit. I kind of wish it leaned into more of, like, a Ryan Murphy territory. Almost. I'm not going to come right out and say that he should have directed. I would never fucking say that. But the energy came. What?
I would say it.
Okay.
It shouldn't have been Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
The energy that came from the Tom Ford fashion scene, I want that to be the entire movie.
Do you want Tom Ford to direct it, like the internet
reaction? I'm sorry, say that again.
Did you want Tom Ford to direct it like the rest of Twitter did yesterday? Because I thought that was a horrid idea.
No, he's wrong for the material. If you're gonna look at an Italian family and not, you know, we do a Scorsese or a Coppola version of this story, then it does need to be a Ryan Murphy production that's going to lean into the more interesting part of the story. You cast a different actor as Maurizio and you lean into their relationship and how it tears down the company. You don't get lost on these side things. If you're going to make a 2-hour movie, that's I would love to see a cut of this that's just focuses on the two of them with somebody else playing Maurizio. You know, otherwise, if you're going to keep the Pacino and the Jared Leto, then and obviously Salma Hayek, then make it a miniseries a limited series and really give those characters the what they deserve. Because right now, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people are just reacting to with Jared Leto, is because he's doing what he needs to do. It's just that his character is so underwritten.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the screenplay is terrible. And I think Ridley Scott just like basically just pointed the camera at actors and let them do what they needed to do. I just can't believe that Ridley Scott made The Last Duel and The House of Gucci in the same year. And they are just so wildly different in all the things that they get right.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I also feel like something with the script that I wish I would have learned how she gets caught. I feel like that isn't fleshed out enough. It's just kind of like, and he dies. And then it's, so that's the most interesting part that they like, how does she get caught? Like, I don't know. I just feel like they yada yada over a really interesting point.
Do you think that that's where the Ridley Scott extra, the longer cut is coming from? Those scenes that got you to the end faster?
Maybe. And I hope that's the case. Cause I would, this is a movie that I would watch again. And it's entertaining, and I would watch. I mean, I know some people were like, oh, what else was there to add? But I'm like, there's a lot to add. And I think you guys are right that a limited series would have been really good in covering some of these things.
Well, he cut. We know what he cut. There's a whole sequence at Studio 54.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I want that. That's what I want.
I mean, I would watch that. I would still watch it.
Yeah.
It's a movie that I will watch anytime it comes up on HBO.
You know, this is very much directed by the guy that directed All the Money in the World, right? That's the Ridley Scott version of this. This is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking it would be interesting if like someone like Lorene Scafaria directed this story. You know, she directed Hustlers. I don't know. I'm thinking of like other. I don't know. It needs a specific kind of director.
Yeah,
I think.
I kind of think it's the direction. I mean, it's written by the woman who wrote the Purple Rain sequel, much maligned Purple Rain sequel,
and The Prince of Tides.
Yeah, like, I think we know what we walked into. Unfortunately,
didn't Ridley Scott marry her?
Did he marry
Ridley Scott?
Maybe I.
Wow.
No.
Okay. No. Never mind.
No, you're right about the script, though. The script is also the other thing. And it just, the pacing is weird with the years. You're right. Because at some point I was like, wait a minute. It is the mid-90s now, but they're still dressing like the 80s?
Or what city were they in? Were they in Milan or were they in New York? Because literally sometimes I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Well, I thought they moved to New York at one point when she's like pregnant.
And they did when he gets the office in Gucci. Yes. That's in New York, right?
Okay. And then, like, the next scene is, like, them pulling up to the dad's estate. And I'm like, wait. It was just weirdly edited, too.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, at the very end, the day that he gets shot, there's a timestamp. And I'm like, what? Oh, this? Now you figured out how to use this.
Right. Yeah.
It's just it's not. It's not offensive enough to be as bad as everybody's saying, but it's not good. It's not good. And it just, I don't know. I just either make it longer or make it shorter, but this weirdly enough that the length that it is right now just doesn't seem to work for it.
It's like I was bored. What'd you say? I'm sorry, Joey.
I said it's like a solid C+ for me.
Really? I would say a B for me.
Maybe a B-.
She is the reason to go see it. I mean, and I think Mark Johnson's review said that like that nobody else could have been this role, and I tend to agree.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't know of any other actress that could do this part and do it well.
She's great. Yeah.
She's great.
Because she commits to it in a way that, like, not even anyone else, Jared Leto committed, but, like, no one else even bothered to commit in the same way. And I don't think there's another actor that would.
I was thinking about this weekend, and I'm wondering if she doesn't go on something of a Sharon Stone in Casino trajectory, where maybe she wins a Globe I don't know if she wins a Globe this year, but, you know, because there's Kristen Stewart, so I don't know what they're going to do about that. But she definitely gets Globe nominated, and she probably gets Oscar nominated as well.
Yeah, I definitely think that.
I don't know how you can't be sort of just as soon as she doesn't even have to be doing something like in those like awkward scenes of the beginning of their courtship and stuff. You're still like literally eating out of the palm of her hand. It's sort of just like, it's sort of just like, I'll go on a date with you. I'll spend time with you. What do you want to do?
But if she gets in, and I didn't have, I think I had already taken out Jessica Chastain. I agree with you, Megan. I'd taken her out when the film just kind of died. But I, like, is Kristen Stewart's obviously in. Nicole Kidman's in.
I think Penelope's in.
Penelope Cruz, I have her in. I have Olivia Colman. I feel like she gets in.
I think Olivia Colman's getting in before Penelope Cruz.
And then I guess,
Nicole, did we say Nicole Kidman? Sorry, I was not paying attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I have Jennifer Hudson getting in, but maybe Jennifer Hudson doesn't get in and Lady Gaga does.
I think Lady Gaga totally gets in before Jennifer Hudson. I feel, and I also was thinking about the whole time I was watching this film, I kept thinking about comparing it to Jessica Chastain and Tammy Faye for some reason, maybe because they're both like, in many ways, larger than life women based on true stories. And I also kept thinking about how, well, this one actually is more, I would say, watchable because there's conflict, you know, it's leading to something. Whereas Tammy Faye just doesn't lead to anything. It's just kind of like a rambling story. And also I kept thinking about the makeup and how good the makeup is in Gucci and how like you forget. It was almost distracting knowing that Jared Leto was that guy because I kept thinking, how did they do this? How did he do this? Whereas with Jessica Chastain, the makeup was distracting in that it just didn't look, it took you out of the movie. It just didn't look real, I thought.
I thought Tammy Faye was more successful in the sense that Tammy Faye was successfully camp.
Mm. Yeah, that would probably be, that's true.
And there's a puppet blowjob.
Oh, that's...
I think with both of these movies, I think there are enough people who... I think House of Gucci is probably more watchable than Tammy Faye, but I think the quality of the movie is a wash, and you have to focus on just the performances and what they do. So... I think something that Chastain has as a strength is of what a redemptive story Chastain is pushing with the awards campaign.
That's true.
So I feel like Chastain is at like 6 or 7. I don't know where.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I think that's something to watch out for because she's like, I don't know if she's doing it anymore, but like when the movie was coming out, she was like, pushing really hard and speaking very in a lovely way about her. So maybe, I don't know.
I also think though that people were a little put off that Tammy Faye was seen as it's so redemptive instead of as kind of digging into really who she was as a person, which I don't know if that like the good and the bad, I think it kind of just focuses on the good. And I know a lot of people were like, well, this is great, but that's, she also did a lot of damage as a, you know, evangelical wife, and the movie kind of glosses over.
Yeah. Oh, I've talked to a lot of men who hated the movie because they think of her as a villain, like a straight
Tammy Faye
woman. Yeah, which I'm like, okay, like you're letting your like heterosexuality get the best of you. But like, I don't hear you have that much hatred for him. But
right.
So it's just kind of like, I think there's a lot of disdain for her, which I didn't know existed because I also am from Oregon and I'm not in the Christian circuit. So like, I kind of like look at her through a different lens, but there's a lot of people who like, you guys are all on the East Coast, I'm sure, or were like in real time seeing her television stuff and the news, right? Was it late 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all, I mean, I'm, you know, that was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm in Raleigh. So it was definitely all over the TV here. That's kind of why the movie was sort of flat for me, because it was telling a story that I already knew very, very well. Didn't really, you know,
it was flat for me too. And I didn't even know that much, but I felt like it didn't, it just kind of went through the surface of things. It didn't dig into like, what she was really like. I felt like I knew the same about her going into it that I did leaving the theater. Like, I was really disappointed with the film, not with her performance. It's very good. But I just felt like, oh, I wanted to love this so much. And I felt like there was no real, like afterward, I'm like, what was the point of the whole thing? If you think about it, I'm not quite sure.
So getting back to Gucci, I think we're all saying Gaga gets in.
Yes.
Oscars.
I think he gets at least 4 nominations.
What for? Costumes?
Costumes.
Yes. Or Jared maybe Leto.
Oh, yeah.
And makeup.
Maybe makeup, Leto, her, costumes, and picture.
Do you think it gets picture?
Yeah, it's hard because we're so far away. But, like, everyone I've talked to so far outside of Twitter, people who just go to the movies, this is like, these are the two barometers. I've talked to people who just go to the movies, and this is the movie that most people were excited for. They want to go see it. And then I see people on like Instagram who like with their families over the weekend went to go see it, and they enjoyed it, and they're recommending it. Like, they're enjoying it a lot more than I even did. And then I've also talked to plenty of Academy members who loved it. I've talked to a lot of Academy members who were obsessed with it. And one of them even said they might vote for her over Kristen Stewart. So, I mean, that take that all with, obviously, that's one person, a grain of salt, someone just talking out of their ass. But, like, I think if they're not running around saying they hate it, and it's one of the bigger, kind of more traditional films of the year, as opposed to kind of the smaller films or the more art-housey films, then I think it could easily, especially with an expanded ballot where they have to write down more films, I think House of Gucci definitely has the chance to stay in there.
I do think it's going to be, the fact that it's doing well at the box office and it's bringing out people who haven't been to the theaters yet since the pandemic. I mean, because I can just speak personally on that. My wife went to see it with me, and this is the first time she's been in the theater since February of 2020. So, you know, you're right. I mean, it could be sort of a celebration to a return of a entertainment that we haven't had in a long time. And that's exactly what they make 10 ballots for, 10 places on the ballot for. I just don't know if people put this at number one, if enough people put this at number one to get it in.
Well, I don't think it has to be number one now, right? Now that it's 10.
That's just with voting for the winner. I think with Best Picture now, they just list 10 movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the nomination process is different now that it's 10 as opposed to a sliding scale.
Right.
So, like, this is definitely, like, it's definitely whatchamacallit territory. Extremely loud.
Oh, right.
I do think it's interesting that you were comparing it to Spencer, and I was thinking about how, you know, Spencer obviously takes liberties that we were just saying that nobody has really brought up, and that everybody is so scrutinizing of Gucci, the House of Gucci, because of, like, this didn't happen. It's just interesting to see how two films that are both about real life people. I mean, I was just talking about Tammy Faye Baker and saying that, but, like, that probably was more truthful, but and not as interesting. But these two are both, you know, taking liberties, but one is getting more flack for it than the other. And I think that's really interesting. And maybe it's because Pablo Larraín comes out in the beginning and says, this is a fable. But for me, I was just thinking about how it bothered me more with Spencer than it did with Gucci for some reason. And I don't know why.
I think it also has something to do with how much we know about who Diana is. Just who she is normally, and then also the saturation that we've had of her over the last couple of years, and we're going to continue to get. I don't know. It felt like when Spencer came out and it was hitting festivals and it started, you know, came out and in theaters and everybody was gushing over it. It sort of felt like this was like, all right, it's Kristen Stewart's turn to play this part now. I don't know.
That's interesting. No, and I think you're right, too, that there's, like, kind of an ownership to this quote-unquote Diana character, you know, that we all know something about, or more so than Patricia. And so watching it, it's like, well, did this really happen? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, it's like, I know her. I don't know if I ever knew this. Like, and a lot of it didn't happen. So whereas with this other person. I don't know anything. I didn't know any. So maybe that's where it lies, that I just don't. I'm like, okay, I trust you. That's fine if you take some liberties. It's interesting.
I will say I am starting to see a lot of people really angry with Spencer.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people that I would have thought would love it, like, tore it apart on Letterboxd. Like, people, like, just, like, my kind of preconceived notions of, like, who I think would like it and who would hate it. There's a lot of people who give it, like, 1 or 2 stars on Letterboxd. And it's a lot more divisive than I would have ever guessed. I don't think that matters in the conversation of, like, a Kristen Stewart doing well. But I do find it interesting.
That is interesting.
All right. Anything else on Gucci?
Yeah. No. The campiest part of the film was the final needle drop. And I think that's the needle drop that you need to do for this podcast.
Wait, which one?
Was it the Tracy Chapman Pavarotti?
Oh, my God. Wait, what was she singing? I can't remember. Was it Fast Car?
It was a baby. Oh, my God. Why am I forgetting it all of a sudden? Help me, Joey. Baby, Can I Hold You, I think.
That one was.
I did notice that there was an interesting. This is the wedding scene, right?
No, it was the final moment. The credits.
So the song they played you out with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't. I was thinking of the wedding scene because I knew it had an interesting needle drop there too. But now I'm going to be looking to see if I could find.
Yeah, it was Baby, Can I Hold You? I'm pretty sure it was.
I think that's what it is.
Her and Pavarotti.
Which is an interesting combination.
Yeah. Which it was just like a whole lot of. Is if they picked up the most broad 80s playlist on Apple Music and then just click shuffle. Because none of the songs ever really fit the moment.
You're absolutely right. That's what I actually found refreshing, that part. But the Italian classical music part was awful. Because as I was, let's pick every cliche song we can think of that has been used in every movie. And then let's go. Whereas the other ones were like, okay, this is weird. But okay. But I felt like the classical music was very, oh, I've heard this before.
All right. Should we move on to the flash forward?
Sure.
Here.
All right. Joey, what are you looking forward to this week?
I'm looking forward to seeing Being the Ricardos.
We can see it now, Joey, can't we?
Yeah, we got a screener. And then I just got a screener like an hour ago to Single All the Way.
Ooh.
The gay holiday movie. So now I have to figure out who, if I have a contact at VH1 to try to get the Bitch Who Stole Christmas starring RuPaul.
Ooh.
Do we just get 2 gay holiday movies every year now?
I think so. You're only allowed 2.
We don't need that many.
No, we don't need. It's fine. We have Batman Returns. It's all good. And I'm still catching up on a shit ton of movies. I'm still trying to watch a lot of docs. I watched Procession. Oof, that was so hard to get through.
It's so good, though, isn't it?
It is. It's something.
It kind of is mind blowing.
Yeah. So that's it. That's pretty much all I'm looking forward to. More docs.
Megan.
So. I am looking forward to, I've been watching, trying to catch up with Squid Game. I'm about halfway through it. I want to watch A Clusterfunk Christmas with Anna Gasteyer and Rachel Dratch.
Oh, yeah.
Because I love parodies of Hallmark movies, and I hope this one's good, and I love those too. And then there's something else that's coming out. I want to see Landscapers, which is coming to HBO on Monday, which is weird.
That's it? Already coming out?
Yeah. That's really strange.
Wait, is it today?
No, next Monday.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Are you sure?
It says according to Metacritic.
Let me check my DVR, because my mom set the DVR for it, because I remember seeing it and it drove me crazy, because I'm like, Mom, why do you set the DVR for HBO? We don't need to do this.
December the 6th.
So it's next week. Did my DVR
that looks really good. I also looking forward to the, I like the Music Box documentaries, and there's one, I need to catch up on the Alanis Morissette one. And then they have one, the Kenny G one, which I would like to see. That's coming out. And then book wise, I just finished this book called Tacky by Rex King. That was interesting. She's an amazing writer, and she's like, has a low culture podcast. It's like love letters to the lowest culture things, but she's like 28 years old. So all of the low culture stuff is like stuff from the 2000s, like late 90s, early 2000s, which is okay. But I also think that Tacky is, should have been called Guilty Pleasures, because it's a lot of like, I don't know, things that Tacky, I think of Tacky as like low behavior, low culture. But anyway, it was an interesting book. And now I'm going to move on to Cultish, I think is the next one I'm going to read about. Cults, and obviously since I'm obsessed with cults, and I also have a book by Shani Silver called A Single Revolution that she just basically self-published, and I'm really excited because she's one of my favorite writers who writes about being what it is to be single. And then everybody should listen to Kylie Minogue's disco guest list album, which has 3 new songs. I probably talked about this last week, but I'll talk about it again. And then also, I cannot stop listening to Beyonce's song from King Richard, because I think it's fantastic. And that's it.
Jalal.
Well, I'm reading the chapter list of Tacky, and it sounds really fun. There's a chapter on spinach and cheese dip.
It's the Cheesecake Factory. It's also a lot of
sex. Oh, it's a whole Cheesecake Factory.
She writes a lot about sex, though. It's mostly about her sex life, which is what people were kind of complaining about.
Does she have sex in a Hot Topic? Is that why there's a Hot Topic chapter?
I don't know, but she's a beautiful writer. Like, her prose is really good.
Oh, well, that's exciting. I'm going to read it. Thanks for the rec.
Yeah.
I am excited for... truly nothing, but today they kind of in the New Yorker it's the New Yorker profile on Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle, they revealed that the upcoming season of Pen 15 on Wednesday is the final season.
No, what?
Yeah, so I am very kind of, I'm sad actually. It's like kind of weird all of a sudden that this season is all of a sudden the final season. And also, when you read it, it sounded like they had some creative differences with the showrunner and co-creator who abruptly left. So I'm curious to see what this final season will be, and if we get a proper ending, or if like if it's written as a true finale. So we will see.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was done. Go on, Joey.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, though, like, wasn't this, like, just the section of episodes that they filmed because of the pandemic messed up their schedule?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was, like, part 2 of season 2.
Oh, I'm so upset now. Oh, I fucking love the show. I wasn't starting to watch it because I wanted to savor it, because I have screeners for it.
Well, yeah, you have to savor it forever, Joey.
Oh, God, I guess so. God damn it.
All right, that it, Jalal?
No. I'll probably spend my week doing what I do every week now, which is I am now part of the Greta Van Fleet fandom. And all of my TikToks now, without asking, are Greta Van Fleet themed. And so that is how I spend my days. And it's a lot more entertaining than anything on the other parts of the internet or in real popular culture.
Now you've inspired me, so I'm going to try to follow you with that.
Excellent. I did finish Squid Game, finally, this past weekend, and I don't know what to think of it, be honest. I mean, it's good. I think the direction, I think actually the direction is some of the episodes are some of the better direction that I've seen on television this year. I don't know what to think of the performances. It's probably just a different style of acting than we're accustomed to, but it's very entertaining. But I would lie if I didn't say that I was not watching the show just to get to the deaths in the game.
I feel, and I wonder if that's on purpose. Is that what we're all, because I've been watching it and I'm like, there's some slow points where you're just like, okay, they're just talking.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, this is probably important character development, but I'm kind of like,
I only heard a lot of people say that. Yeah.
Really?
I only really cared about one character.
Is it the pickpocket?
It's the pickpocket.
Yeah, I like her too.
She's the only one that really resonated with me or that I felt anything for.
Is she the one that's kind of become like a sensation?
Probably.
The actress, like a youngerish actress.
Yeah, she's the only one that pops.
I like the woman who I know them by their numbers, but I'm trying to remember
the one that bounces back and forth between the two groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we're really bad at this. We're supposed to be writers of television. We all took so long to watch Squid Game after the entire globe had already seen it.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I've been wanting to watch it, but I also had to watch other shows first to write in order to write about them. So
yeah, same. But in film wise, I am looking forward to Power of the Dog, seeing that again on Netflix on Wednesday. I'm also seeing Nightmare Alley this week and being the Ricardos. And book-wise, I just bought an actual hard copy book because I was given a gift certificate to a local bookstore. And I got Jonathan Franzen's new book because it's just going to be a long, slow haul up to Christmas. And I'm Christmas 2023. Yeah. I didn't know.
Is it the Crossroads?
Yeah. And I've heard good things about it from people on Audible, so I will read that one. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3 M's, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, plus special guest Jalal Haddad, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.